Thank you for listening to the Fields Brothers Show.
Well, I'm Roger Fields, and I'm here with my brother,
Jeff Fields.
And we're at Moonlight Fields Farm. This is where we do the podcast, and we're coming to you from Central Kentucky. We are two former pastors, and we're just enjoying life on this side of the cross, and we just try to talk about how cool it is that Jesus paid the full price for our salvation. And then we talk about stuff that happens in our own lives here in Central Kentucky, too. So we have a little fun. We don't take donations, and we don't sell advertising. So anyway, you can just kick back, and no monetary obligation whatsoever. Isn't that right, Jeff?
Really? You didn't tell me that.
Yeah.
Well, we don't make anything off of this?
Unless you would out of goodness of your heart, you would like to buy our book. We do have a book. So other than that, I guess, you know, Breaking the Hex, Life with God After the Cross Killed Religion, it's on Amazon. So, Jeff, I got to tell you, first of all, I'm going to be showing the depth of my ability during this podcast. Are you ready? As you may
have. Doesn't sound like it matters if I'm ready or not.
It doesn't matter. It's happening. That's right. So, now, as you may have heard, I'm a realtor. Yes. And so we listed a property yesterday, and I'm getting a lot of calls for showings, which I have to okay the showing. So all I have to do is hit a button. So if it comes through, phone's on silent, but I'll just hit the button, and I'll show you how I can keep the conversation going while doing real estate at the same time. Not too many people can do this.
So you're going to be doing real estate while we do the podcast?
That's essentially, yes. Just on occasion. Right. I mean, if a request comes through, I just got to hit an okay button. I just got to okay a showing.
Okay.
I'm not going to be talking to anybody on the phone or responding to text or anything like that. No, just hit a button. That's all. So, tomorrow, Lori leaves for a week. Did you know this?
I didn't know the exact timing. I knew at some point she was going to be gone for a while.
You know, it's one of those things where I agreed to it months before. And then when it gets there, I'm like, why did I agree to this? Well, she likes to go down with her sister and two of her boys, sister's boys are going with her. And they're going to Florida to see her dad. She likes to see her dad.
Yeah.
And he's in his 80s. And so, you know, she does it several times a year, which I totally support. I think it's very cool. And they have a great time. They get a nice little hotel on the beach at Panama City Beach. And so, but yesterday, this is what hit me. When I put my real estate, I don't mean to talk about real estate so much, but I brought the wrong sign out to the place. And so I had to go back. And
wrong sign? You mean for your previous company?
Yeah, well, no. No, I have some signs going different kinds of frames, okay? I brought the wrong sign for the wrong frame.
Okay, all right. So it didn't fit.
So I had to go all the way back home, get them to come back. And then on the way home, I thought, well, I'm going to stop and get some ice cream at Kroger and realize I never even brought my wallet, okay? So I didn't bring left my wallet at home.
So you're driving illegally.
Oh, yeah, totally illegally. And so then it's to be, you know, and Lori's leaving tomorrow for a week, and I'm just asking her a simple question. Are you comfortable leaving me without adult supervision? apparently she is. So, but anyway, so if you want to, we don't take donations, but if you want to send groceries this week.
So Chipotle will be busy this week.
Chipotle's going to have to put my name on the curb. Yeah. I think I want my own parking spot there. Yeah.
Well, if you get too desperate, just give me a call and I'll find somebody who can help you.
Every time Lori has to leave and go down to see her dad, I'm reminded of how hard it is to take care of me. And so anyway, that's it.
Well, Therese and I went and saw, I want to talk about a movie that Therese and I saw last night.
Okay.
We'll talk about other things too, so that's not all of it. Right. One of the best movies I have seen in a long, long time. We don't go to that many movies. Obviously, you know, nobody's gone to a lot of movies in the last year or so, but even before the pandemic, we rarely would go to movies because there's just almost never anything on that is that appealing to us to see. So we would occasionally go on it, and we've gone to one other in the last year or so. I don't even remember what it was. So yesterday was our anniversary. So, dinner and a movie, you know, classic anniversary type of evening. And we had some other, you know, had another trip recently, got another trip coming up in June. So we didn't do anything big in terms of a trip with this anniversary, just dinner out and a movie.
Then we get, it was like for you to like a movie, was it like an Andy Griffith revisited movie or something?
That would be good, but no, that wasn't it. I came across one, and this was my idea actually. So I need to, I should get some credit for this. So I look, what movies are on? And as usual, most of them have no appeal to me or Teresa, either one. We don't get into action, sci-fi.
But you're eventually going to tell us what the movie is, right?
Yes, okay. I'm trying to build up the suspense here. So I found this one called Finding You. It's a romance comedy. And I think, how bad can a romance comedy be?
It can be pretty bad, actually.
It was rated PG. It wasn't even PG-13. Right. It was rated PG. And so we went, there was, a total of six people, I think, in the entire theater.
Well, you're socially distancing. That's good.
Well, it didn't have. Yeah, I mean, we would have been. It would have been awkward not to be socially distanced with only six people in the theater. But they, it was. You know, the first bar. Tell me, I bet you're like this too. The first bar for a movie, or whether or not you consider it good, what's the first bar that it has to reach?
I need a good intro. I mean, I need to see the first scene of the movie has got me curious about the movie.
Okay, well, that's a good answer, but I'm thinking a different direction. For me, and I think you understand this, the first bar is, do I fall asleep in the movie or not? Do you ever fall asleep during movies?
I can't even count the number of movies I've fallen asleep in. Yeah,
so that's kind of the first bar.
I don't want
bar.
To talk about it. Thanks for bringing that up.
That's the first bar. Do I stay awake or not? I never had any trouble staying awake in this one. It's called Finding You, Romance, and I'm not going to give it away here, but it had incredible meaning that I think I may have seen some meaning probably more than what the writer intended, because I kind of drew out some spiritual things.
Just because of your depth, you were able to just dig down and dig out the meaning.
But it was...
Who's in this movie?
I didn't know any of the... of course, I'm not really up to speed on who the famous... There was one, right. Vanessa Redgrave. Do you recognize that name? She played a very old lady in a nursing home there.
Jeff gives it a two thumbs up. So, is that right?
If that's the highest rating, I want to tell you just a little bit about it and why, and I won't give it away.
All right.
But it's, and you know, the trailer's out there, and it just came out last week or so. I don't know how long it's going to be.
Finding You.
Okay. Y-O-U. And it's kind of got the title kind of has multiple meanings there.
Yes,
well, okay. U as opposed to university, you know, that type of thing.
Oh, meaning. I see.
So.
Never even thought of that.
So a girl who's a violinist in New York goes to Ireland to study abroad for a semester and try to get better at her art of violin. And over there actually in a plane flight, and then over there meets a young man who is a superstar actor that is over there to film their next movie. So it's kind of weird. You have a movie and you're watching them film a movie in a movie.
Yeah.
And so a lot of it boils down. So the, you know, the romance is between the two of them, and it's the movie's clean and all this. It is rated PG, but at one point the actor is really struggling with, does he want to continue to be a movie star or not? And he says some things, indicates, you know, he really misses just being a normal person, and he's kind of grown up as a child actor. And his father, that's where we're going. His manager is his father. And so his manager/father is looking at everything from the standpoint of success in the movie industry. And he's wrestling with the point, do I really want to go on with this or not? He has the opportunity to sign a huge contract that is going to set them up for years to come. And this is one of the key lines. In a conversation with his father, he says, I don't need a manager, I need a father. So think about that. I don't need a manager. Yeah. I need a father.
Implications for that.
Oh, yeah. And we've talked, and there are other implications there about in other parts of the movie about one of the reoccurring lines is sometimes things are not what they appear to be. And it's a really great examples of looking at other people. You know, I tend to look at other people and you immediately kind of come up with a conclusion of who they are and what they're like and whether or not you agree with them and whether or not you like them. And we have no idea what went on in their past. And so it was really a good reminder to listen to people and to get a sense. You start to say something.
Well, yeah, it's a little slightly off, but slightly related.
I'm going to get back to the father thing.
Yeah, I saw a quote on Facebook where somebody said, you know, there's a lot of judgmental people on Facebook. Because I can tell just by looking at them.
That's just pretty good. But back to that line, I don't need a manager, I need a father. You and I have talked about the fact that, you know, in the New Covenant, we see God as our dad, not our employer. And that's true. That's a valid point and worth making. But the manager, I think, almost is even a little bit better.
Yeah, that might be a
because
better.
Because a manager is not, you know, still has a relationship. And so people don't, you know, people, yeah, have a relationship with God, but I think a lot of people see God as their manager. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's somewhat of a personal relationship, but he is, you know, you think about in the movie industry or in the sports, the manager has a relationship. A lot of times they get to be very friendly with the star, but their primary goal is what is good for their life as a manager.
What's the focus? In other words, your productivity is the main focus.
Right.
And the relationship is secondary to that, whereas a father is the other way around. The relationship is first, productivity is second.
Yeah. And so I think it's a great illustration about in trying to quote unquote live the Christian life, it is easy to see God as a manager. That he's
trying to
use us for his success and our success too, but primarily his success. when, so I just love that line. I don't need a manager. I need a father.
Yeah.
And it's a little, the movie's a little predictable and a little Hallmarkish at times, but there are other lessons that were really good. And I've been a long time since I've had a movie that I left thinking through so much.
All
stuff.
Right. So here's my question.
So finding
though,
you. Okay.
Were the explosions or car chases?
Well, no car chases. There was probably an explosion or two in the movie that they're filming in the movie.
Oh, okay.
Because right. He's a movie star in an action, sci-fi, medieval yeah. type of thing. And there's some good humor in it as well. And a very if I'm going to be honest, there was one scene toward the end that
you teared up.
I might
you
have shed a tear up. Or two.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So if you want to see what kind of movie makes Jeff tear up, go look, watch the movie. Finding You. Is that right?
Finding You.
Finding
yes.
You.
And you can see the trailer on there.
Y-O-U is how you spell you.
Yes, yes.
Finding You.
Well,
so.
You can figure out how to spell Finding on your own. But so it's not Finding Nemo, it's Finding You. And it's kind of a dual, I don't know if they intend it this way. I think they did. You know, Finding You sounds like a romance thing. I've got to find you. I've got to find my partner, you know, my spouse, whatever.
All right.
And then it's kind of that, but it's also talked about finding you of who are you really, you know, finding yourself. Right. And that's, I mean, the movie really illustrates, you know, like this actor I mentioned to, you know, he's being forced by his dad and everybody around him into a certain mold.
Yeah.
And it's like he's playing a role even outside the movie.
Yeah.
You know, and his dad's really into social media and how they're going to spin everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, makes you think Romans 12, you know, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So he has to decide, am I going to go along with what everybody around me is pushing me into?
Yeah.
Or am I going to go with what's in my heart? And so that's a great.
We have to go out and see that with Lori. So, we have to take Lori to see that.
Yeah,
you know, it kind of reminds me, since it's kind of a romantic movie in a way. You know, I can tell you something funny that happened on the farm, our wedding farm.
Okay,
it's a wedding story, so I thought, well,
okay,
that's it. I'm trying to make some segue here, you know. But David, our cousin, officiated.
I know our cousin David.
Remember him?
I like David. Yeah.
He officiated a wedding out here this past week, and he told me, he came up to me, he said, you know, it was a small wedding. He said, a man showed him an invitation after the wedding, and he said, you know, I was invited to this wedding, but I don't know anybody here. I don't know. He didn't know the bride, the groom, nobody. He didn't know how he got this invitation. He showed David the invitation. So it's really kind of odd that he got an invitation, even more odd that he showed up for the way where he didn't know anybody, you know? So David asked him if he's going to stay and eat, and he said, no, I'm not going, I'm leaving. He told him after the ceremony, before the reception.
I did end up talking to David about that, and I also learned, David, they drove like an hour and a half to get here.
Man brought his wife? I thought it was just him. So
no, David saw both of them, and they drove like an hour and a half to get here.
And did not know anybody.
So
wow.
And I think he thought he was going to know
kind
people.
Of a,
that
a
it was
award for that.
So, you know, that's
that really is something.
That's boy, I would. I mean, I got to confess, I don't get into going to weddings. You know, I enjoy it to some extent, but it's not for me. You know, don't get into the dancing part of it and all that. So the idea of going to a wedding that it's not my favorite thing to do in the first place. But then
like
to go through that,
if you had a choice,
I don't even know.
So if you had a choice between attending a wedding and playing golf, what would it be, Jeff? I mean,
well, now, you know, there's a certain amount of responsibility coming with someone I know. Then now I
don't try to
there.
Snow us. You would golf every time. So
there's the old joke. Surely you've heard this about the guy in the speaking of golf,
I'll speak. I'm sorry I brought it up.
Yeah, you're the one that brought this up. I've been listening. You probably didn't know this, but XM Sirius Radio. Do you listen to that in your truck? You do, don't you?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah, yeah, me too. Did you know there's a PGA channel on your XM Sirius?
No, I did not know that. I had not been searching for that. I was unaware of that, and it really saddens me to know that. There's a golf channel on my XM radio.
I want to say 92. I'm not sure if I'm right on that. So the PGA tournament is this weekend, and I've been, when I'm in the car, you can keep up with the PGA tournament while in your car. And so,
oh brother,
so my guess is in your mind, just watching a golf tournament live in person is probably not a high priority.
Nope.
Watching it on TV is even lower. Listening to it on radio has got to be pretty much,
I mean, if I was ever captured and they were trying to get information out of me, they said, look, buddy, you either spill the beans or you're going to be listening to a PGA golf tournament on the radio. I'll say, what do you want to know? Just, I'll, you know.
It's kind of funny listening to it. You know, the guy's putting and the announcer is calling the, you know, and we can't see what's going on. Like, you know, TV, they, you know, they know everyone's watching it. But on the radio, you know, it rolls up. It's in the hole, you know. So you know they are where the golfers cannot hear them, so they don't have to whisper. But
did
anyway,
our culture go any lower? All right,
that is on that.
All right, I'm gonna give you my new favorite word, Jeff.
Okay,
and I'm gonna be using this. You're gonna be hearing this from me. This is my new, hands down, my new favorite word. Now it's a word that a lot of people have heard of. I had not heard of this word, and it's not in most dictionaries. But,
so you're still into this thing of learning new words.
Oh, I do love new words.
I've known of other people who have done that.
Yeah. So. It broadens your thinking. You know, new words help you think more clearly and in more broad terms. I mean, it broadens your thinking. I don't know how to say that. Bomb diggity.
Okay, I saw you put that on
bomb
Facebook.
Bomb diggity. That's the bomb diggity. That means it is so... If we do find a definition of it, and there are some places online where you can find that, some places don't have it at all, but it just means something beyond awesome, beyond incredible, just is the bomb diggity. So I would say the gospel is bomb diggity. Beyond awesome.
Yeah, I was going to say that movie was bomb diggity. Then you brought up the gospel, and that makes me feel guilty.
Yeah, that's a little bit less than bomb. Yeah, really, so it wasn't that bomb. You know, the movie was good. The gospel is bomb diggity.
Okay.
So anyway.
What's the Greek word for bomb diggity?
Is that bomb diggity AO. Do you not know anything? Did you not learn anything in Bible college?
You didn't have a Greek in Bible college, did you?
Bomb diggity ao. Well, but you learn. You look up Greek words all the time.
I had a year of Greek in Bible college. So
how much Greek do you remember from your Greek
class? I am the Greek. Well, a little bit.
All right.
Let me a verse here that I came across actually a month or so ago that I found interesting that you don't hear. I mean, we obviously move among some grace, for lack of a better term, grace circles on Facebook and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I came across this verse, and I don't even remember how, I guess I somehow just stumbled across it for 1 Timothy. So Paul's letter to Timothy. So Paul, you know, the one who knew the gospel of grace better than anyone, has in chapter 6 where he talks about, you know, verse 10 is the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. We've heard of that mm-hmm. verse all of our life. Mm-hmm. But then in verse 11, he says, but you, O man of God, so he's talking to Timothy, but you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. I've heard of that. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses.
Yeah, that's an interesting scripture.
So a couple different aspects of that, one in each verse. So pursue righteousness.
Yeah.
You know, I'm used to thinking of, okay, we always hear Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then we who enter, you know, when you see the new covenant, you think, okay, we don't have to seek the kingdom anymore.
Romans says over and over, we're made righteous.
We've already been made righteous. Right. Kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit.
How
on one hand do we know by grace in the new covenant that we have been made righteous? If that's true, then why does Paul tell us to pursue righteousness? And then it says godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Well, that's a lot like the fruit of the Spirit mm-hmm. list. You know, not every single one of those, but most of them are. And so, I mean, that when I first saw, okay, that seems a little odd. You know, if it's a fruit of the Spirit, something that we don't generate ourselves, but yet we're supposed to pursue that. So I've got a couple of thoughts, but what are your thoughts on that?
First of all, I do think it depends on how you define pursue. You know, mm-hmm. if you define pursue as I got to work at it and, you know, I got to have a program and I got to do steps and I got to do that's the pursuing that I would think is more compatible with the old covenant, not the new mm-hmm. covenant.
Yeah, agree.
I think in a way we pursue it in that it's just something still by faith. I mean, I want those things in my life. It's like, and I like to see those things. Mm-hmm. So it's not like I'm disinterested in any of that. I am interested in seeing those things in my life, but the pursuit is different. It's a pursuit by faith and trusting God to do it in me. So that's how I would say it.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's a good way of looking at it. It's in contrast to the love of money, and you know, when he gives that warning about those who desire to be rich mm-hmm. Fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts and all that. So it's in contrast to that. So I think I guess two things. One, what you mentioned, that is pursue, that we're not pursuing it by the energy of the flesh, but we're pursuing it in a manner of believing in Jesus, but that it is important to us. And I think he's talking about conduct, not identity. I guess that would be the other mm-hmm. key thing I would point out. You know, Colossians 3 says, seek those things. You know, if you've been risen with Christ, then seek those things which are above. So I see it very similar to that. Mm-hmm. So just as, you know, if you've been risen with Christ, Colossians 3, Christ, you know, for Christ, who is your life, for you are dead, and your life is now hidden with Christ and God. So, you know, all that's being true, then seek those things which are above. Or 2 Corinthians 4 talks about the eternal things. So basically saying, you know, focus on the eternal things. But again, as you said, not in a sense to become these things or out of a legal obligation, but just based on who we are.
I think, too, I mean, would you agree with this, that, you know, even though we believe that the finished work of Jesus on the cross was done, we have been forgiven, we've been made righteous, there's still an element of we appropriate that, or we, you know, Paul said that he prayed for people that their eyes would be opened to see their inheritance, to see how much God loves them. There's still a... It's not like you're stagnant in life, okay? I think it's a danger when people get the impression that because Jesus has paid the full price, you're forgiven, you're righteous, that your life then becomes stagnant. There's no place to go. You know, you're just kind of stuck where you do grow and develop. You grow in your understanding of grace. You grow in your understanding of what God has done for you. The relationship grows. I mean, it's still a journey to this.
Grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For Paul, Paul, with all he had been through in Philippians 3, says, I want to know him.
Right,
well,
right.
Paul, do you already know it? Well,
yeah.
Not. I mean, he's
And so I think it is still an adventure, to say it another way, you know, that this is still something that you can see, you know, forward movement. I mean, you're not changing your relationship with your Father. That's all eternally intact. But we still do appropriate. I don't know if the word's appropriate or we just experience more of it.
That next verse is fight the good fight, lay hold on eternal life.
Yeah.
The idea of lay hold, and I did go in to look, see what the Greek was and all that stuff, but lay hold or appropriate or make use of. So he's not saying it's not saying you're spiritually dead. You need to figure out how to get eternal life. Yeah. You already have eternal life. He makes that clear in other places, but you need to lay hold of it. You need to make use of it.
And one word the Bible, I think, uses a lot is receive. You just learn to receive, you know. You learn to receive what is already true of you.
I thought of Hebrews 11 the other day, in the big faith chapter, by faith, you know, Abel did this. By faith, Noah did this. All these long lists, and everyone, by faith, they did something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, never do we read... By faith, Moses sat in his tent and contemplated the greater thing. You know, you don't read that. They all did something. So there's a difference between dead works and good works, and we've talked about that before.
And we are an active participant in receiving what God has done for us, you know. It's just a whole different – I think it's like any relationship. I mean, you know, you could have your relationship with anybody can be secure, but you still grow in it. It could be a relationship with your wife or your kids and
faith,
or whatever.
Faith needs to be exercised. I thought of this the other day, and I haven't given it a lot more thought, but faith is like a muscle. You know, muscles need to be exercised. And so you look a little questioning.
I know, I've heard it before. I have to think about that. I mean, I guess that's true, you know.
So it's, Paul Ellis writes some things. He uses that term, not for muscles, but in terms of unprofitable servants, that if we have faith, that we need to use our faith as if the faith is a servant, that we need to make use of them and exercise our faith and, you know, go out and, you know, okay, today, because I am know who I am in Christ, or Romans 6, you know, present your bodies as present the members of as instruments of righteousness. So anyway.
Well, I like that.
I still like that phrase. I don't need a manager, I need a father.
I like that. And so let me give you this phrase, get your response to it, okay? Oh, we have time to change gears for a second?
Yeah, I'm pretty much done, so whatever you want to wrap this up with.
I would say it's time to disinfect the gospel.
Disinfect, like, okay, we disinfect a counter, disinfect things, so there's germs or things like that don't belong. It's not pure. We're talking about the pure gospel.
Right.
So, that works.
And I think, too, and I know this is kind of a downer kind of statement, but, you know, I think one of the things that happens to people, and I've had a lot of conversations recently with a lot of churchgoers about grace, is that for a lot of people, they have attended a congregation. You say congregation, I would say like box church. And for many of the people, they've attended that to find out that there's still a gap between what they need to do and what God has done for them through Jesus. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of people, that's kind of what, you know, how Box Church has done to them, you know? And I think that's kind of sad that...
It's a business.
There's so much of we got to get people to work for us and serve and give and attend and all that you do many times come away with a very profound, you know, feeling that, boy, Jesus did a lot for me, but just not quite enough. And I think it's sad that that's what a lot of people take away from attending a congregation or a box church.
The idea of gap, I think you used the word gap there. Mm-hmm. That really illustrates it. I mean, essentially religion tries to get us to focus on a gap
right.
that is there between who God wants us to be and who we are. And we got to fill up that gap, and you can make an industry off of that, and they have,
yeah.
where the gospel says, basically, there is no gap. That yeah. you have been yeah, made right. new in
there
Christ.
Is no gap.
You are one with Christ. And so is there a gap or not? So,
and I think it's the gap is where all the bad stuff happens. It's all the stuff where people fight with each other. It's all about mm-hmm. that gap. It's all about that filling that distance between perceived distance between what God has done for us through Jesus and what we think God requires beyond what Jesus has done. So anyway, I think the good news of the gospel is there is no gap. So I just want to say once again, if anybody would like to send groceries or just nice warm thoughts that I could make it through this next week.
You know, I'll reiterate what I told you before. If you need help, just give me a call and I'll find someone who can help you.
Okay. All right. Thank you all for listening.